interestingly enough, and I did not know this, but I was on a call, a 90-minute Zoom this morning with this really cool, I'm like very excited to have been invited to be a part of it, but I'm also a little bit humbled and intimidated by the people that are also on it. And I'm going to be speaking on it next week, but it's like a 12-week series with a lot of people who are in global leadership in terms of the economy and the environment and how sort of thought leadership and what's going to happen next post coronavirus, and like how do we sort of rebuild some of the things that have been broken down in this period, but rebuild them with a more sustainable or more compassionate design in mind. And the woman who spoke today used to work for the World Bank, and she was amazing. And she said a quote, and I jotted it down real quick. I think she said it was someone named Peter Koenig. Thank you. "We project onto money what are the missing parts of ourselves." And for an economist to say this, I thought was a really cool thing. Because money, like we said, is nothing. I mean, it's just an object that was invented to exchange things, as Michael said. But it becomes something so big in our minds and in our experience of life because we think it says something about ourselves. And again, it's a little heavy. It's a little more like heavy than I would tend to go, but the missing part of ourselves. When I reflected on that, I thought, yeah, that's true. That's the only time money gets weird for me. Like, I'll give you a really silly example that happened yesterday. It's like I said, one of those wonderful people offered something. It's kind of a yoga for pelvic floor release, which anyone who's had a baby knows that pelvic floor muscles are something that get a little out of whack after you have a baby. And I thought, oh, that's great. I actually really need that. I would love to do that. And she was doing it on a pay-as-you-can scale. And so I did it and I sent her PayPal, and then I overthought the amount that I sent her. It was the opposite of Jasmine. I wasn't overthinking the amount someone gave me. I was overthinking the amount that I gave. And the reason I was overthinking it is because I wondered if it was too little. But then I realized that was like a, oh, well, what is she going to think about me? But then I thought, oh, but I've given out, and I know she's been on several things that I've done for free lately. So then I could suddenly feel okay about it because she's taken things from me. And also I was like, what am I doing? I'm overthinking this. Take the stupid pelvic floor class, Mara. And like, but it was a, what are people going to think about me? You know, kind of moment. Which was totally silly once I saw, like, I know this person thinks nice things about me. I also know that how much I pay her for this, what she said I can pay as I want thing isn't going to change it. You know what I mean? But it was like, it was such a funny, I could see my own insecurity just like pop to the surface. So I was projecting onto money my insecurity of what are people going to think about me. And that was just one little example, kind of like right in my face yesterday. But there's a lot of those that are a lot bigger than that, that can start to drive our lives in crazy directions. Not just whether or not we signed up for a yoga class or whether or not we overthink what we paid for it, but like, you know, the people we marry or the jobs we keep for 30 years or the relationships we destroy or the people we hurt and so on and so forth.
You know, there's another, can you say the quote again? We project onto money
the missing parts of ourselves. The
missing parts of ourselves. I've just ironically been reading a bunch of Peter Koenig recently, which is why I recognize that. He used to work for the World Bank. That was, and one of the things that I find fascinating around, you know, around this whole topic is how we think that what we project onto money is what other people are projecting onto money. So if we project survival onto money, we assume that to charge people is to ask them to give us a little bit of their survival, is to potentially put them at risk. But if they don't project survival onto money, like I've met people who project gratitude onto money, mm-hmm. that are insulted if you don't let them give. It kind of hurts them. It's like, you know, they project, and I'm not saying any of these are healthier, but you know, they'll project caring onto money. And so if you don't, if you're projecting survival onto money and they're projecting caring, you're going to get into fights. When both of you are just trying to, they're trying to care and you're trying to protect them by not taking the money. And it's not seeing that the inside of our cave is not the inside of anyone else's cave. Like this is where separate realities is so helpful to see. That if in your thought created reality, money is survival, and if in mine it's something else, it doesn't behoove me to treat you as if it means the same thing to you as it does to me. And it's fascinating to see that we're all making it up and we're just making it up differently, assuming we're making it up the same. And if you start waking up to that, what I found is it gives me a sensitivity to where people are at individually. Mm-hmm. I start to notice when, that money is meaningful to them in this instance or not meaningful to them in this instance, or for an hour it's meaningful to them because they suddenly went in, clicked back into, it's survival. I thought I was caring, but now I'm surviving. And yet there is something in us that just knows. Like there's always a number that feels right. Both sides. There's a number that feels right to pay or arrange, and there's a number that feels right to receive. And you don't have to get into the psychology of it to know that number. You don't have to justify the number. It will change over time. Like the biggest thing, when Paul McKenna and I, we spent 2 years researching the book that became I Can Make You Rich. And just talking to a lot of super rich people, some of whom were miserable and some of whom were really happy and content. And independent of their net worth. But, you know, we talked to 10 of the 50 wealthiest people on the planet at that time and a lot of other people. And we just wanted to see, are there commonalities? And of all the things we saw, the two things that made the biggest difference to me personally around money, one was seeing how much spending is emotional. Like that one thing made the biggest difference to the most people was seeing, I'm trying to buy feelings with my exchange units. That's really dumb. That's a really lousy use of exchange units beyond a certain point. Because I can get the feelings because they're in me and I'm creating them. And if I just stopped using money for that would slash my outgoings. But the other thing that made a big difference was seeing that we make up big and small. We make up the amount that's worth thinking about and the amount that is a no-brainer that we don't have to think about. And when that number changes, the whole game changes. Because when 10 bucks is a no-brainer, but 20 you got to think about, that puts you in a certain world. And when 1,000 bucks is a no-brainer and 10,000 you got to think about, that's a world. And when $1 million is a no-brainer, but 100 million you got to think about, that puts you in a different world. But within the world, everybody's exactly the same. Like everyone struggles with a big amount that they've got to think about, even though what that big amount is can be completely different by a factor of many zeros. Mm-hmm. And nobody struggles with a small amount, even if one person's small amount is way bigger than the biggest number somebody can think of. And so seeing that even that's up for grabs is kind of very liberating.
And I think what I've seen, to your point just there, Michael, is you said earlier, the number always feels right. You know what that is. And it does not matter what it is. It's the feeling you have about it. So like I said to someone, oh, I'm going to charge you $3 to have an hour long conversation with me, and that felt right to me, then that goes great when it comes out of my mouth. If I say I'm going to charge you $3 because I have some weird loaded something or other around it, at some point it's going to become a problem. Like, I'm either going to resent the person later, or they're going to notice I'm awkward about it. So they're going to feel a little weird. Like, well, she said $3, but I don't feel like I think she wants, you know, yeah. Versus if I said, I'm going to charge you $30,000 to have a 1 hour conversation with me. If I feel good about it, again, it sounds preposterous, but that will be the outcome. Like, I'm not necessarily saying, and everyone will say, agree to it, but because you feel good about it, whatever happens next, you feel good about. Either the person says, okay, great, sign me up, or the person says, no, thanks, that's not my cup of tea. Okay, fine, then you feel good about that. They walk away, you don't feel bad, you don't feel weird, or they stay, you don't feel bad, you don't feel weird. And so, like, everything is the ripple effect. Again, to come back to, like, your state of consciousness, it's just, it's not the dollar amount that's causing the ripple effect. It's the state of consciousness through which the dollar amount is being said. And when I saw that, it was like, oh, I so see how made up this is. Like, whatever number comes out of my mouth, I have to live with the feeling with which that number was uttered and nothing more. Like, the next thing that happens has zero to do with the number and everything to do with the space at which it came out of this head. You know, so like, once I saw that, it was like, oh yeah, you can play infinitely in either direction. You can give everything away for free if you feel like it. You can charge trillions of dollars if you feel like it, and everything in between. But you're living in the echo of that, not the money, not the number.
The worst business experience I ever had as a trainer and coach was a course that we put on. And it was, I think we charged 20 grand for 2 days per person. And I just at the time couldn't believe people would pay that. Like, I just went with it because I wanted to see. And people did, but because the number had never felt right, that energy was there the whole training. So I wasn't free. I didn't feel right. I kept checking, are we doing enough? Are we giving enough? Like, I was off from the very beginning. And literally, it's the only time in my life where not only have half the people asked for their money back, but it just got ugly. And it's also, ironically, pretty much the only time where I didn't go with the number that felt right. I went with the impressive number. Now, as an experiment in seeing how many chickens people will give you for your milk, wow, more than I thought. But as an experiment in charging above your pay grade in a funny way, well, yeah, that's not going to go well. And charging below your pay grade doesn't go well either.